there. Those Mississippi apples are falling. There. Our countrymen are rising today. There. Yeah, so this is Officer Bill Johnson here, and just wanted to let y'all other new cadets in our force know that we've got a real uptick. We've got a real rising happening all around this our community, and we're in trouble. Our white women are in trouble. Our little white girls are in trouble, and you know, and there's trouble in paradise. You see, gentlemen, we've got too many niggers. Yeah, that's right. I used the word nigger in 2024. We got too many niggers all around here. And, they're moving into our neighborhood after we done ran them niggers out. Here they come coming again. Yeah, I'm telling you, I done heard from Colorado that you got a bunch of, you know, niggers and these nigger-loving folks, you know, moving on in to places like Parker, Colorado, and Castle Rock, and, you know, we got a real threat happening here, and our brothers and sisters out in Washington State, we got some real issues going on. So, here, take a look at this. You see this map? All right. Well, this map is going to let you know where all the little nigglets live. And let me tell you, I've heard they're promoting some of these darn niggers into higher positions, and they think they can just start mouthing off like they know everything. These little monkeys, they don't even know how to read half of them. Sitting up there having babies and shooting each other up, listening to that garbage rap, whatever they call that crap. Yeah, they're just immoral. You know, those Democrats, or some of them call themselves Republicans. But let me tell you, we're in deep waters. So I'm letting you know our agenda. Our agenda is to make sure that we're talking to all of our brothers and sisters wearing the blue badge. Yeah, you know. And you need to do some more, you know, routine stops, if you know what I mean. You know, that's the only way we can get these niggers off the street. Well, I don't care if they haven't done anything. We know most of the routine stops we do, niggers don't do nothing. But they did everything. They stole our land. They're stealing our jobs. They're stealing our women. Hell, they're even graduating from college at the age of 13. I mean, who do these little slave monkeys think they are? So we need to teach them a lesson. I mean, things are getting real tough. We don't know what the election's going to look like. You know, you got people walking around in politics thinking they know a thing or two. And I'll tell you, they don't know a damn thing. All they know is shaking and gyrating their little Jezebel behinds, you know, and rappers sitting up there with them guns. Hell, we're the ones with the guns. So we gonna have some things happening, and it's time. It's time. There's a lot of fear in the air, and you gotta be careful when you're driving down the street. You see them little monkeys riding around in their car up to no good. Well, what are they doing? Oh, they're just sitting there probably smoking a bunch of illegal drugs, contaminating our schools. Yeah, you need to pull them over. I don't care if they haven't done anything. They're doing everything. They're doing everything to dismantle our community, making us run up to the hills, making us run to places like Idaho and Colorado, Rocky Mountains. No place is safe. Our ancestors fought for this land. Our ancestors fought for everything that you see. You think we're just gonna let these darkies just take over? I'm more scared than the blackest of the blackest of them. And the blacker they are, the closer they are to Tar. The blacker they are, the closer they are to the devil. Well, you got some of them. Some of them darkies, yeah, they're on our team. Hell, they don't like them either. We got some of these niggers, they don't even like each other. And they'll go ahead and do our work for us half the time. Did you know that? Yeah, it's true. All you got to do is let them know what we're up to, and they'll be the first ones to slap handcuffs on another one just like them. We don't have to work that hard now. So let me tell you the first agenda. First agenda is we're going to do a bunch of routine stops, okay? If they give you any kind of talk back talk, then you know they're up to something. If they move or if they flinch in their cars, that means they got a gun. That means that little nigger, I don't care if he's 13-year-old, if he's 7-year-old, if he little boy, little gal. If they show any kind of attitude, that means they coming for you. Yeah! Oh, yeah! Did you know back in right after slavery is when our founding fathers started the first KKK? Well, you know it was known as the police. Did you know that? We have a long-standing history in this country for eradicating them niggers off of this land. By any means, we gonna do it. When you go up to that police, when you go up to that car and you see that little nigger getting mad and talking smack back to you, what are you gonna do? You gonna just stand there? You gonna just let him do it? No. You tell him, where's your ID? And that nigger don't show his ID, then you handcuff him. Yeah! Oh, you get a noise complaint from a white neighbor, you make sure that you go ahead and you make sure that you knock on that door, guns drawn, because you don't know if they're gonna shoot you first. So you go on ahead and knock on that door, and if that niggers, especially them black wenches, if they wanna start talking smack to you, you handcuff them. Yeah, even in their own home. You don't have to ask questions. Yeah, they should show you their ID. I know it's against the law, especially if they're in their home, but we're the law. Yeah. Yeah, you pull that little wench out of her home and you do God knows what. I don't give a damn if she's carrying a baby. That little thing in there ain't nothing but a little squirrel. Got nothing to offer this world but poverty, but crime, criminal-minded thugs. So you do what it takes. Yeah, and let me tell you something else. When you go into those public schools and you patrol around those high schools and middle schools and you see them little thugs walking around those schools, not going to class, just being thugs. Yeah, I don't care if they're valedictorian. They ain't up to no good, because all they're gonna do is get a little liquor in them and go do something to one of our own baby girls. You know that? Yeah. So here's what I want you to do. You go and do those, go ahead and do those patrols. Yeah, I want you to go ahead and patrol the whole community. I want you to look at those that look the most suspicious. You know, the ones wearing their hair all over the place. Got the afros, you got them things they call locks, looking all crazy and like picking little pickaninnies. Yeah, even those wearing them, that blue and orange colored hair, those are the worst ones, let me tell you. But then the ones that are worse than that are the ones dressed up in suits. You ever seen a monkey in a suit? Yeah, you ever seen one of them things in a suit talking like they're all smart and stuff? When you look at them, all you see is the blackness in their eyes. All you see is the soullessness in them. Those are the ones you really gotta watch. Wow! Well, let me tell you what you gotta do. It's time to put them monkeys behind bars. And every monkey you put behind a bar, you gonna get a star. Yeah! You gonna get promoted. Yeah! Hey, I just promoted one of our own to captain. Yeah, after he shot up a little nigger. You see, it's all about promoting, you know, our own to be the best they can be. Hell, we've even got those in the military getting promoted. You know, putting some of them niggers in the front line. We got to make sure we're protected. Yeah! So here's what we're going to do. We're going to be smart about how we do this. We're going to cover up our evidence. You know, our little video cams are making us wear these days. All these niggers pressing charges, trying to get money from us. Let me tell you, there's a real issue. Them darn hills, there's going to be a real problem in getting money from us. So, we're going to go into a house. We're going to go into one of their cars. And we're going to raid it. Yeah, I know we kind of fumbled around with that pastor. Yeah, that pastor down in Mississippi. I know that pastor didn't do nothing to us. But he did everything to us. He's driving a big fancy car. And we didn't find any drugs on him. But you know what we can do? We can plant some drugs. Yeah, we've been planting drugs forever. You know how easy? That's one of the easiest ways to catch one of them monkeys. Throw them behind bars. No one's going to listen to them. Hit them with reckless driving. Hit them with driving under the influence. Yeah. In fact, here in Mississippi, we rarely get complaints. Well, yeah, I'll take that back. People complain, but you know, we got this thing so protected that even the politicians are going to make sure that we're able to just kind of get away with some. Well, yeah, okay, all right. Now, I know some of our own been sentenced to 10 to, 40 years off. Yeah, for doing that thing to them two niggers had no business in our community. Yeah, I know they had no business in our community. So we think that those soldiers that are now going to prison, I'll tell you one thing, they're heroes. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. If you want to make captain, if you want to be a lieutenant, if you want to travel the world, if you want some extra money for your honey, you want to go put that down payment on that ranch. Well, let me tell you, you make sure you slap some handcuffs or some bullets in these little niggers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. So back in the day, our forefathers started what they called the KKK. Yeah. And did you know that one of the first places we started this was in Colorado? Mm-hmm. When Colorado is where the KKK was very strong. Yay! But you know what? We're able to be smarter about how we do things. We don't walk around in white hoods anymore. We do that. Everybody knows what we up to. We up to protecting the sovereignty protecting the integrity, protecting our women from these rapists, from these whores, from these little pickaninnies that's making our children just as dumb as possible. Our forefathers went around in the nighttime stirring up fear, stirring up anxiety in these black community, these nigger communities, these blackies, because all they want to do is move on into our communities. We would string them up high upon a tree. We would have parties. We barbecue, sometimes barbecue them, because we want them to know they ain't nothing but some monkeys. They have no rights to this land. Well, yeah, they did fight back, but we don't want to really focus on that piece. Who are you? You're asking me a whole lot of questions. Who are you now sitting in the back room asking me all these questions? Of what you a darky lover? You a nigger lover? Is that what you are? Well, you don't have the right to come here. So where are you from? Up north? Oh, you from New York? Well, you better take your little country, your little wannabe country behind somewhere. What are you, a spy or something? Stir service asking me a lot of questions. Well, in fact, I don't think you belong here. I think we have a spy among us. Yeah. Oh, so you're not a spy. So why are you asking about these types of questions? Yeah, I know some niggers fought back and they continue to protest, and that'll make it good for them. It's only gonna make things worse. And if we can get their own kind to be on our side, which, in fact, we got some niggers right here in the audience. You don't see these two blackies. They don't mind being called blackie because they call themselves a redneck. We got some, what they call, sugar brown people. They call themselves rednecks, too. Got some Asians. They all the same to me. Y'all call yourselves all different. So, yeah, we got all rednecks in here of all races. And so I don't want to hear anything about how these niggers try to fight back. I don't want to hear about any protesting. I don't want to hear a damn thing. You got something to say? Yeah, you best to get on your way. Because I'll find out who you really are. See, let me tell you, people, we got some people among us that are really informants, really the ones going back and telling about our little secret meetings, you know, how we dress in suits, but by day we're in suits and dresses, and by night, you know, we're standing over here burning the fire and talking about our land and how our land's being taken away and what we're going to do. Yeah, we got judges. We got high ranking officials in the military. We got business folks in business. Our membership is growing. I'm not too worried about that. We got people getting recruited every day to be a boy in blue. Or a woman in blue. Yeah, that's the only way. See, this is what we call a legal gang. We're the KKK. Our roots were founded on scurrying up and stirring up these niggers. Our very foundation was founded upon eradicating these niggers from our land. Taking back our homes, taking back our schools, taking back our economy. They're just gaining way too much power. Some of them are just getting us thinking to be so smart. See, when you give a monkey a book, it's just the same like giving him a some type of explosive. You see, that monkey don't know what to do with that much power. What's he gonna do with it? He's gonna go and teach his children, teach her. They're not even children, a little pickaninny. They're gonna go teach them about freedom and, you know, peace. But they don't really know. They're nothing but animals. They live like animals. They don't have any money. They don't have any power. But when you're sitting there in your, you know, little restaurant and them little Negroes come in here talking all, trying to talk all like they from the north and proper like, those are the ones you better watch. If you were undercover cup and you're dressed, you ain't dressed in your uniform, let me tell you, I give you permission to follow that little nigger home. Follow them to where they going. Get that license plate, especially if they're not from these parts. Yeah, we're in trouble. Now, let me tell you, there is a promise of being promoted. There is a promise of getting recognition. There is a promise given to you for going ahead, eradicating these people off of our land. There is a promise for making sure that our schools are having less and less of them niggers there. There is a promise of more developers going out into the rural lands and investing in more and more stores and businesses and pulling out of these nigger places. Yeah. So if you today, are you ready to be promoted today? Yeah. Are you ready to spread this message of the great American dream? Yeah. Wait, I know you didn't just say that. Okay, this informant? I want you, if you don't get out of here in the next 3 seconds, we gonna make sure you never leave here. Yeah. Oh, what do you mean you've been recording this whole thing live? You've been recording. Get out of here now. You gotta get. This has been going live for how long? You mean to tell me that this is on the news now, everything we're saying? Oh, no. I don't know what else to say. Uh-oh, SpaghettiO, I'm in trouble today. Okay, people, thank you for tuning in to that. Big shout out to the racist bastards. Yeah, you are a bastard. You're not even that. You're like a piece of trash that is getting blown away in the fiery smoke of truth. Okay. We do have a real issue going on here where more and more black people and other individuals, I'm talking about black people today. I can't go and bleach my hair and bleach my skin. I wouldn't want to do that, but I can't go and change my skin color to fit in anywhere. Okay. That ain't happening. So we have a real issue going on right now where police, even more so, are just getting away with detaining us, pulling us over for no reason, as if all of the other issues that have happened with police brutality have not happened. Nothing has changed. There is an uptick of this that's happening even more. Besides the black men that were assaulted down in Mississippi, we have stories, countless stories of one story out of Florida, black man was shot while 20 bullets went into a police car while he was handcuffed because the police officer thought that he heard a gunshot, but it was an acorn that fell, for example. Okay. Now, we have a pastor that was recently pulled over with his nice, I think he had a Cadillac. and he was pulled over for so-called having drugs. We have illegal search warrants happening. So while we have a war and wars going on overseas, I can't divert my attention away from the war that is already happening here in this country. See, for those of you that want to walk around and say, race is, I don't see race. Race doesn't exist. You could be black, white, red, and yellow. I've heard it. I heard a Latina yesterday trying to tell me she doesn't see race. No, that's because you're blind. Okay, you're a disgrace. See, other people see race so strongly that apparently it creates so much fear that people have to move when they have one or two black families that move into their community. If you're a passing person or you don't know what race you are, then you're in the safe zone, so you think. And a lot of times you'll be the one to be the most racist towards another person of color because you don't want nothing to do with them. And you want to show your disdain, you know, and you know who you are. Some of you change your last names. You change your hair. You bleach it. You brown it up. You change the slant in your eyes. Okay. Just to make sure that you're in the safe zone. So I'm calling you out. And so when we are dealing with these, this is a crisis. It's a crisis when I have to be worried about the safety of my son, who is only 36 miles away from me, going to a university that has blatantly showed their racist policies, blatantly allowing racist students to say things. I've been racially attacked on campus. Verbally attacked, I'll say, not physically. My son has been called a boy by a group of Caucasian students with hockey sticks trying to look like they're some kind of gang or something. So when I hear a monkey, I call you a monkey. You're a monkey. Okay? When you call us a monkey, I'm going to call you a monkey too. In fact, you're of the lower species. If you really think that black people are monkeys or that you're superior, you are of a lower species. In fact, a monkey is a compliment. Monkeys are highly intelligent. You are a demon. You are a devil. You are of a lower vibrational energy that doesn't belong on this planet. If you have a mindset of killing innocent people, if you are of a mindset of a hate group that strategically devises to not promote people of color and to keep that power dynamic going in your family so strong because you don't want to lose your economic fortitude, You're not human. You don't deserve to be called a human. Unless lightning strikes you and knocks some damn sense into your head and you come down back to earth, I don't consider you human. I consider you an energy vampire. I consider you something that is distasteful, that is a parasite to the world. And you need to go not only read a book, you need to stuff yourself inside of a book, close the book, throw it in a cave, seal it up, put a dragon on top of it, let fire burn around it until your ass is lit the hell up. That's the truth. We have too many people afraid to make a stand because they're afraid they're going to lose their job. Let me tell you, you're going to lose your job anyway. They're devising for you to not get promoted. Some of you will do anything to keep your jobs. But you didn't know that that pink slip is coming to you. Some of you just lost your job. This is why I preach entrepreneurship. This is why you hear me talking about global entrepreneurship. This is important. If I could speak in tongues to different languages, I would tell you this. Don't ever get complacent. Don't ever think that when you come to America, the way to assimilate is to disrespect the black men and women that have lived on this land longer than anybody else has. And that you think that we're lazy. All we know how to do is dance and sing and shake our butts and gyrate. Part of the problem and why I roast with the most, I roast the black musicians, the people in the entertainment industry, for spewing out trash. Okay, you're part of the reason people discard our bodies, murder us, we murder each other, because you have murderous lyrics in your music. We're not going to sit here on this bandwagon and just attack our multicolored KKK people. Yeah, and I said it, multicolored, because we have so much self-hatred in the black community. I don't even know sometimes who I'm talking to. I'll see a black person that actually sounds exactly like a KKK member who literally will abuse, misuse another black person. I'll see the same thing in the Latino community. I'll see the same thing in the Asian community. Self-hatred. You are not my brother or sister. You are a foe and you are an enemy to life and you're an enemy to progress. Go over there with the KKK gang, because that's exactly who you are. It's what you do. When Death Tunes are talking about killing, who shot Kenny, how you did this to the woman, or the female rap artists talk about nasty pornographic things, male rappers talking about trash pornographic things and shooting and killing, then when we get mad at the gangs of the KKK for coming to get us, you're opening that door for our innocent people to get killed, for people that have done nothing wrong in a traffic stop to get murdered. How dare you? So I have no sympathy for you. You will be cast down. You are being cast down, Sean Puffy Combs. You are being cast away, Will Smith, Beyonce, and Jay-Z. Some of the richest entertainers in the world. You will lose your head. You are losing your head. You have lost your mind. Many of you, and some of you, I don't even know you. There's names out there I don't know. I'm talking to you too. Some of you have names popping up in your head of people that have misled our community. And the problem is, people stop following after false ideologies, false preachers, false teachers. You know damn well in your spirit this is false, but you'd rather dance to the music. You'd rather go on that cruise and shake and gyrate and unfortunately get tossed over that cruise ship into the vessel of death. You would rather shuck and jive than awaken to the fire that is here. There is a fire happening in the black community in America and around the world. There are other fires happening to people of all races, cultures, religions. The world is on fire. Now, within this fire, there is hope. Okay, there's always hope because there's life. And so we must beam brightly and make a stand. When you're disrespected, you know, in an establishment, for example, I took my vehicle to a dealership and I believe that my vehicle was purposely sabotaged because the people working there, they do not care about, they don't value me as a Black woman. And they'll be the ones running up to appease white people where they think they have money and status. Same thing happens overseas. You go to the islands. You have the fortunately, and it's sad to see this, and I can understand. You go to Jamaica, for example. You have people, the people of that country will run to go and appease the white people because they think they're going to get a tip. They're going to get paid more. They go to Dominica. They go to Brazil. The villagers run to help those people, the white people. And white people, you know this. You know that you get privileged treatment. And a lot of you secretly like it. That makes you a devil to me. That makes you a person that is not even human, because you know that these people are poor due to colonialism, due to some part of your ancestors, and they're still dirt poor, and they'll do anything to please you, and you love it. Who does that make you, and what does that make you? Now, notice I said many. I didn't accuse all of you of being that way, because there's some white people that are not that way. Similarly, when a Black person is in these countries and they're on vacation, you think the other Black people in those countries are going to be running to help them? No. Because the thing is, the Black people can be very disrespectful to our brothers and sisters overseas. You can go over to parts of Africa and buy up land, but you're going to talk trash about the Black people there. Now, mind you, that stealing and stealing of money that certain Black countries do, they have a culture of not doing business right and stealing because that's their way of life. They're that poor. It does not make it right. So if we're going to go overseas, it has to be with the intent for redevelopment. And there's just some countries we can't even go to because the self-hatred of the people of that land is that bad. You can go redevelop all you want and then you'll get shot doing it. So we have to be, number one, careful, mindful, you know, aware. Because while we're here in America and while we have illegal immigration going on, we are in trouble. The best way to emerge out of this trouble is to know your history. You need to know what was going on during the era of Jim Crow, during the era of the Black Codes, where it was written into law that Black people couldn't do this, couldn't do that, couldn't go here, couldn't receive Social Security, couldn't move into certain neighborhoods, couldn't drink at a certain water fountain. And when you look at today, we have not progressed that much. In fact, it's worse that we are intermingled to the point where people will get up and move far into the mountains to get away from you. Black people don't just want to live with thugs. A lot of Black community members despise gang members. We've lost loved ones to gangs. I've lost two cousins to gangs. Many of us despise gangs. It's almost like, but when we're listening to music, that promotes violence, then it opens up a portal of destruction and for lower vibrational entities to come right on in. So you tap dancing musicians ain't singing about nothing. You don't rap about anything. And you're making all this money. And all you're doing is having sex, a bunch of that. You're not teaching your children principles. And then you get mad when somebody does something in your community. So while you're hooping and hollering in church, and some of that is necessary, because there's many activists that do hoop and holler and are trying to make a difference. But if you're hooping and hollering, but then you're shucking and jiving, and you're not making a stand when it's necessary because you want to be accepted, just like somebody from some little black person with self-hatred, or a Latino with self-hatred, or an Asian person with self-hatred, or even a white person with self-hatred. I threw white folks in there because you go back to your genetics. I'm not talking about ancestry.com either. And you're going to see some black blood, and you're going to blow dry those curls out of your hair real quick. Yeah, did I sting you? That's what the intent was. So while you're asleep in your beds, don't you know that there is a predator, boys and girls in blue, coming after you, coming after your children, devising ways to pull you over unethically, devising ways to take your money from you, devising ways to fool you in corporate, to smile in your face. Let me tell you about that fake smile. Hey, I'd rather know if a person is racist, white, black, red, or yellow, whatever, colors of the world. I'd rather know if you're racist in my face and you really don't like me than you doing that fake smile. Hee hee ha ha. Hi. Cheek cha. Get a cat. Hee hee. Oh, yeah, my best friend is black. Oh, yeah, I love black. No, you don't. You don't have to be black to be black. Some of you always use that, well, my best friend is black. That don't mean nothing. Some of you have these black friends so you can learn as much as you can, like a energy vampire, about the culture, so that you can somehow position yourself to feel superior. I know somebody like that right now. They're always around black women, always doing stuff. But then when it comes down to it, this person will say, well, I'm educated. She's a white woman. I'm educated. And she'll put her whiteness on the scene when it's convenient. And when she's dating and screwing all of her black men, but she'll show her disdain for black women when it's convenient for her. That makes you an energy vampire. It is not right to do that. When you have black people shucking and jiving, talking about, oh, your hair is nappy. Oh, you look black. You got tanned. You looking like la la la. Ooh, she pretty for a dark skinned girl. Well, I don't like black. I like them mixed. I want my baby to be beige. You sound like a Sambo idiot. Depart from me. I know you not. You are a tap dancing idiot and part of the ones that shuck and jive, and you keep your mouth closed when it's time to make that stand in the police department, when it's time to make that stand at the educational school board, because you're scared you're going to lose your job. When it's time to actually make that stand at the bank. Maybe you've just been promoted. When it's time to make a stand in the judicial system, you stand by and do all the typing, but you don't say nothing because you're scared. You're scared to death. Let me tell you, I support the people that are looking for strength and courage. Strength and courage comes from within us. The truth is inside of us. The race problem's never going to go away. I hate to tell you guys that. It isn't. It is not. We've been going through this decade after decade. Same conversation. Same conversation. Paul Laurence Dunbar. Same conversation. All of our Black inventors. Same conversation. During slavery and after slavery. Okay? So it isn't going to change. But what can change is how we approach it, how we can dismantle these systems, and how we can get rid of these energies. That can change. But the racist people, let them cower into their own existence. Let them run into a hole and stay there. Let them run backwards where they become who they once were, which was poor, ignorant, and in the dark ages, not knowing that there is a sun, a moon, and stars, not being able to even articulate words. Let them run into a backwards catacomb, ones that they've stolen of the past. When they try to erase history, Ron DeSantis, when you try to push out all the Haitians, but you, America, will allow so many non-Black people into this country, you will be destroyed in your own hatred. The illegal immigration is wrong in general, but when it's targeted to where you're like, oh, the Black people are coming, oh, they're rapists, they're gonna duck out, you're inciting fear. You're inciting police officers to continue to hurt and harm innocent Black people who've done nothing wrong. Meanwhile, you have your pedophiles in different levels of life. You have your pedophiles and the judge pedophile. You got, you know, business pedophile. You got sex trafficker pedophile. You got the cop that beats the hell out of his woman pedophile. You've got your businesses who run these rings, and they are walking free while you are pulling and detaining innocent people over day after day, time after time. And you have an agenda to be promoted at the very end. So let me tell you what the light of truth is going to say to you. You are blind, and your blindness is going to cause you to walk in different holes. This hole can be, you know, you may wake up one day and the earth starts to shake underneath you and your ground and the ground, and somehow you get swallowed in the ground. Up. The other darkness that can come and haunt you are the mysterious spirits, those that you've slain innocently. They're standing at the foot of your bed, and night after night, you're having nightmares and you're wondering why. And you're starting to drink, starting to like kind of lose yourself, and these spirits are coming to get you. You will hear the ringing in your ear, the ringing of all the screams of the innocent people that you've harmed, that you've displaced from work. And so every time you see a Black person or a person of color in general, you start jumping. And you can even be a Black person. You thought you got away with harming your own community, harming children, you know, shucking and jiving, living that double, triple life. Let me tell you, the walls will come and speak to you and consume your thoughts to the point where a mental health breakdown begins to slowly peel at the four corners of your mind. Okay? When your spine starts to tingle and your knees start to give out, you're realizing that you're losing your balance and your health is somehow mysteriously deteriorating because your mind is gone. When these things start to actually happen to you and start to break you down, break you apart in pieces, you will remember those that you've destroyed, those that you innocently killed. And I'm talking about not just in America, people. I'm talking in this story. Is it dedicated to all the mofos around the world? I don't care about your race. I don't care about your religion. If this story and these things I have spoken in the first episode and then this episode apply to you, oh, my dear child, I feel for you. So I would encourage you to, some of you are saying, Jesus, please forgive me. Get down on my knees and pray it away. You shall hear the song, The Stolen Stories of the Slaves. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Call of My Ancestors. This is your host, Monique Esberry. So I want to talk to you guys about when you're wounded by fake people and how to like lick your wounds and try to like keep moving. So I can tell you for sure, my ancestors throughout time, especially during slavery, were confronted with a lot of fake ass people around them. Fake slaves, fake freed men and women, fake masters and mistresses who were also masters, fake ass pastors, you know, fake family members. They were around fake people, okay? There's fake people everywhere you go. So what is a definition of a fake person? A fake person is a person that is deceitful and they present to you one particular side of themselves that is not true and that does not align with their intentions or with their character. Okay, so what do fake people actually do? What is one of the characteristics that they do? Ding 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 ding. I think I knew, mommy. They smile in your face. Correct. You just won a token of life. Fake people will sit there and smile in your face, as well as possibly making false promises to you. They will hide their true intentions. They will sit there and try to get information out of you, all the while acting sympathetic and hugging you, you know, telling you they care about you or that they're going to do something for you. And the whole time that person is being fake, literally just like a wolf. Now, a wolf is striking for a predator, striking for its prey. So it's going to kind of like be cool, be smooth. Now, some fake people, you can tell they're fake.
Oh, hi, Joan. How you doing?
They got that fake smile. You can see their rotten teeth or their pearly whites.
Hi. You were just on my mind. I was just thinking about you.
Actually, that person was in the corner doing some fake magical spell work. And that's how they ran into you today at the supermarket.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Did we just run into each other? You were a bit on my mind.
And you're saying, that person actually did pop in my head. That is because, people, we are all connected to one cosmic. We are connected to the one cosmic mind. So when somebody does pop into your head, it's not always serendipitous, like in a good way. Sometimes it might be like, don't eat those frosted flakes today. You better be careful. Don't go through that cornfield today, because there's a fake wolf waiting for you at the end of the maze. And fake people come in all shapes, sizes, colorful people. Their end goal
is to suck as much life out of you and to derail your path and to set you back, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, 5 years, or an entire lifetime. What they'll do is they'll say, "Hi. Oh gosh, I'm so glad we were able to meet up for lunch." Or let's do a guy. "Hey man, it's cool. Yeah, it's good. Nice to see you, bro. Yeah, you know, I was just telling the wife about you and you know, how we're excited to bring you on to the firm, you know. And so tell me more about yourself, man." Now, this guy talking, he doesn't care about the person he's talking to. He's actually jealous of that person. And he's trying to find fault and anything that he can use against him in a court of law or use against him down the road to sabotage him. "Yeah, man. Mikey, tell me more about yourself." "So, Stan, thank you so much, bro, for inviting me out to this cookout. I'm happy to join this insurance team. And, I was just really trying to figure out, you know, my life. You know, I've gone through some hard time." "Oh, really, bro? What kind of hard time are you talking about?" "Oh, you know, kind of faced some financial difficulty." "Ooh, financial difficulties. Can you tell me a little more about that? If you don't mind, you know, I just want to see if there's some resources here. I mean, are you back on your feet? I mean, is your credit messed up?" Well, yeah, actually it is. You know, my wife just divorced me. I was never home." "Oh, you're divorced? Ooh, man, I bet that's tough. You know, my wife and I were talking about people getting divorced, and I'm just so grateful to have her. So, yeah, tell me more about your finances. You know, you are in insurance. I just want to make sure that, you know, there's some things we can help you with." Well, yeah, my credit took a bit of a nosedive, but I'm getting it back up again, and I've sold a few policies. I'm building up that book of business, so I think I'll be fine." "Oh, you've already sold a few policies?" "Yeah, man. It's not tough. But didn't you just move here? I mean, do you already know people here?" "Actually, no, I don't. I'm just a people person." Oh, you're a people person. Interesting. So, about that, you know, we got to be careful at the office because, you know, we don't want people getting the wrong idea, if you know what I mean. No, I don't. What do you mean? Well, you know, if you're fraternizing with some of the ladies, if you get my drift, they'll kind of think you're a certain way. And, you know, we can't bring that kind of trouble to our office. Oh, Mike. No, not nothing like that. I'm just outgoing. You know, I've done sales my entire life, and that's just what I've been doing. Oh, yeah. So, you've done sales your whole life? Well, that's pretty interesting. You look kind of young. So, yeah. What companies have you worked for? Now, mind you, the guy, he's new to this town. And he's thinking, this guy is starting to ask me a lot of questions. I'm starting to get a little nervous. Have you guys been in that situation? Well, you know, I've worked for Coca-Cola. Okay. So, yeah, you got some, food and beverage, I see. So, what were you doing at Coke? Doing the warehouse? In the warehouse? Yeah. Were you pushing 2-liter bottles, man? Actually, no. I was working as an account manager. That was my first job. Oh, okay. And then tell me, what else did you do? What else did you do? Well, you know, I also worked for a few hotel chains. Oh, get it. What, you were like a busboy or bellman or something? Not really. I was actually working as an events manager. Events manager? Huh, how did you get into that? Like I said, I'm a people person. You know, people just kind of gravitate towards me. I mean, I'm pretty much an open book. Okay, all right. Well, you know, this is a small town and everybody knows each other. So, you know, yeah. So what are your plans in the next 5 years? I mean, hey, guy, you kind of make me feel like I'm on an interview or something. I'm just here trying to enjoy the barbecue. I see you haven't really been eating, been asking me all these questions. Well, you know, I mean, I am the district regional manager here. So, you know, I'm just want to know who all the newbies are, if that's okay. Well, so my plans for the next 5 years, I'm just trying to rebuild my life. Like I said, I just got a divorce. I don't have any kids. Oh, you don't even have kids. Well, yeah, man, I don't have any kids. I mean, can you have kids, man? Or is there something going? Of course I can have kids. We just chose that we wanted to focus on our careers. Oh, I see. So do you go to church? I'm actually not of any sort of religion. Oh, but are you a Christian? No, I'm not actually. Well, you know, this is the Bible Belt where we are. I mean, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. So what are you, an agnostic type person or what? Bro, you got to tell me, you know, we just got to know these things. You know, I'm just looking out for your best interests. Well, you know, I grew up Catholic, didn't have the best experience as a kid. Uh-oh, Catholic. Wow, I can get it. Weren't one of those little boys hanging around those priests, were you? as a matter of fact, yes, I was around some priest. But that doesn't mean anything. I'm not really sure where you're going with that. It's a little awkward, but for the most part, I just decided to find my way in a different way, you know? Oh, okay. So, me and my wife, we go to church every Sunday. You know, we've got, in fact, I serve as a deacon, and I'm also the outreach coordinator, and I'm also the treasurer, and I'm also the assistant pastor sometimes. You know, bro, that's what we do. Oh, wow. Well, that's great that you're all into that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to get to know this new town. I'm new. Yeah, you're new. You're outgoing. Okay, well, anyway, I see you haven't really touched your food. No, because we've been talking. Yeah, well, I don't even see you with a beer, or I don't see any meat on your plate. So what are you, a vegan? Actually, no, just kind of like already ate before I came here. Oh, ate before you came here. So were you sightseeing? Gee, this guy is really, oh, okay. No, I'm not sightseeing. I just kind of lost my appetite. All right, well, yeah, so I'll see you on Monday next week. Remember to stay low key, okay? You don't want everybody knowing your name around this town. Yeah, cool, thanks. Yeah, see you later. Who does this guy think he is, moving into my town, thinking he's a new sheriff in town or something? Thinking he's all that just because he's not married, no kids, living a single life. I got him. He thinks he's going to move up in the ranks, and I've been here all these years. He thinks he's going to just stand out and shine and be the great contender. He's got another thing coming for him. yeah, I'm just going to sit here, get as much info on this guy. Heck, I might even put a tracking device. I want to know everything about him. Where he sleeps, where he eats, who he's seeing on the internet, everything. He's not going to come in here and try to destroy my world, try to flirt with my wife. For all I know, he could be a little pedophile. Yeah, I might have to make a few phone calls and get some of my bros to, like, you know, follow this guy. I don't know him. And you better believe it. Yeah, he thinks he's going to come into this area and mess up my career. I've been building up for the last 15 years. Yeah, right. I've been doing insurance since I was 18 years old. And I'm one of the most successful in the region. Some wise guy's going to come around here. He's got a... Okay. I know you guys are like, can you tell me a little more about what's going to happen in this story? I might actually do like another part of it, because that is an illustration or demonstration of fake ass people. You know, these people will come around you like a big black horsefly, and they're just a spy. Whenever you see a fly, I want you to think of spies. And I want you to think of the people in your life who are spying, who are spies. And these people will come around you and they'll start asking you dumb questions. Now, when that dumb question, the first two questions come up and you feel like somebody's being nosy, that is a fake ass fly. Fake ass fly spy. If they're asking you what underwear you're wearing, what you watch on TV, what did you do last night, where's your family from, how much money did they leave you, irks, you're a fake fly and you're a spy. Those people are dangerous. And sadly, because many people in the world are so insecure, I think that over half of the world's population is like that. Because if we're trying to reach a certain like echelon or like status, socioeconomic status, I've got to show my BMW. I've got to show who I am and what I am. And I've got to prove myself. I've got to prove myself to my classmates. I've got to prove myself at the employee luncheon. I've got to prove myself at the business summit. I'll never forget. I was going on the airplane and I still sell insurance, but I used to sell insurance for a certain company. I won't name the name. It was supplemental insurance and I had a backpack. And so the backpack had the insurance name. So I'm standing in line to get on this plane, and this idiot standing behind me, he starts talking about his whole career and how much money he made and how he did insurance. But he's talking to the person like next to him, but he wanted me to hear him. I didn't react, but I said to myself, hey, Stewie, you have low self-esteem. You have no self-esteem. In fact, we got to stop saying low self-esteem. Some people don't have any self-esteem because they're so low in their vibrations that they're not even at a low point. They're at a no point zone. So when people start trying to one-up you, you ever meet one-uppers? You tell them something, then they tell you what they do. Well, you're just innocently saying, guess what, Muffy? I just got a great achievement award for best business person of the year. Oh, did you? Well, I just bought a new car. Oh, okay, that's awesome. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, yeah, just innocently saying, yeah, me and my family, we're getting ready to go overseas and travel to a few different countries. Oh, well, we're actually going on a world cruise. for a whole month. And you're like, okay, great. So it's like tit for tat. You say something and they have to say something. You say something and they have to say something. Hey, say something yours. Shut your mouth. You look like you have no self-esteem. Stop doing that. If you find yourself doing that, you just, now that you're aware of it, don't do it. Because it sends a message that you're not happy. You don't have enough self-esteem to be, even be happy for the person that is telling you like what they're doing. You have to insert yourself in it. And that completely like takes the attention off of you. And now it's putting the attention onto that person. But it's called fake ass attention. Okay. Other forms of fakeness. And the reason I'm saying this is because if you're fake, that is dangerous to be fake. Because you will be the person to literally sabotage somebody's job, to sabotage somebody's marriage. You're a fake flirter. You know this person is married or they're with someone, and you're gonna come around like the spouse, but your intention is to possibly like cheat with their spouse or with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And you're just coming around. Oh, I just came to drop off something at your house. Oh, here's a housewarming gift. But the whole time you're strategically planning like planning a landscape project to insert yourself into this family in about 6 or 7 months. That is called sadistic. You know, for example, I'll give another example. You know that Uncle Tommy is going to pass away, possibly in 1 to 5 years. You have not been nowhere to be found. You haven't even kept in touch with this person. But somehow, your end game is, how can I get some money out of this situation? How can I be written into the will? Okay, that's what it is. And so suddenly you're coming around Uncle Tommy. Hi, Uncle Tommy. Hey, bud, I haven't seen you in a long time. Yeah, Uncle Tommy, you know, I've been traveling the world. I've been in the Navy. He ain't been in the Navy, but that's what he's saying. Oh, kiddo, I've been wondering what happened to you. All my other nieces and nephews are coming around. Oh, Uncle Tommy, you've got a lot of people around you? Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to kick the bucket here in a little bit. And people just, I guess, want to say their goodbyes. But it sure gets lonely sometimes. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Bubblegum and drops. Uncle Tommy, I would love to spend time with you, Uncle Tommy. I want to spend time with you, Uncle Tommy. Oh, gumdrops. Of course you can, little nephew. I've been dreaming of the days of old where you would come back into our fold. I mean, I know you had a rough upbringing and kind of got yourself into some trouble. Oh, Uncle Tommy, you remember that? Well, of course I do. I had to give your mother the money to bail you out of jail. Oh, but Uncle Tommy, I want you to know I've changed. I'm not the same person I used to be. Well, that's great to know. So, kiddo, where are you staying at these days? Well, Uncle Tommy, I don't have anywhere to go. Well, why is that? I mean, you're, what, 24 now? I mean, aren't you working? Well, kind of. I mean, I was flipping burgers somewhere and was working a sales job, but kind of got a little, my car kind of went out on me, so now I don't have a car anymore. Oh, man. Well, can I help you with anything, buddy? Well, Uncle Tommy, don't you have a car I could drive? I mean, I can really help you around the house. Well, of course you can. I still have that old white Buick sitting in the garage. I would love for you to come in and help me out from time to time. Well, Uncle Tommy, I mean, aren't you living alone and you're really sick? I mean, can I take you to the doctor? Can I help you make your bed? Can I cook you some eggs and bacon? And can I do anything for you, Uncle Tommy? Well, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. Well, I am sort of on my own. You know, your mother's no longer here, and nieces and nephews, they actually live pretty far away, so I get to see them from time to time. But, yeah, I've got a spare bedroom in the back. Would you like to just, maybe stay in the back bedroom? Oh, ding-ding-ding-ding! Of course, Uncle Tommy. Of course, Uncle Tommy. I love to stay with you. Where's those keys at to the Buick? Oh, gosh, little tyke. You seem to be a little on the anxious side. Are you still hot-headed like your daddy? Oh, for Jimmy Stewart's sake, of course not. I'm, you know, been trying to just kind of figure out my life, you know. But if I can help you in any way, I love you. Well, I love you too, nephew. But got a couple of rules in this house. Well, what is that, Uncle Tommy? I don't allow girls in here past 8 o'clock. Ooh, okay. Uncle Tommy doesn't know. I'm just gonna sneak him in anyway. Okay, Uncle Tommy. Yeah, so I also don't allow loud music after 5 p.m. Gee, willikers, this Tommy's a bit... Okay, no problem. And, yeah, about those car keys. I don't want you driving my car every day because if something happens to it, then we're all going to be in trouble. But how will I get to work, Uncle Tommy? Well, I thought you were going to help me out around the house. Well, I am, but I still need to work unless you're going to give me money. Well, I guess I could pay you. I guess I could pay you some money to help me out. Well, how much do you think you're going to need? Well, how much can you afford to give me? Let's see, Visiting Angels charged me $40 an hour when Stella came. How is $30 an hour sound? $30 an hour. Oh my God, this is better than I am at. Better than I imagined. Okay, well, all right there. Well, I'm getting kind of tired. I need to go like lay down, and we need to go over all my medicines and my schedule. Oh yeah, this old fart is gonna kick the bucket pretty soon. Maybe I can make him kick the bucket even sooner. Okay, Uncle Tommy, you just let me know how I can help you. Okay. The next day, devising a plan. The small brain of the nephew, the crumbled up degenerate brain is devising a sinister plan to accelerate the death of his uncle. Look at these medicines. I wonder if I can pop any of these pills. I think I'll pocket some of these. Ooh, yeah, oxycodone. What? Oh my God, he's got all kind of medicines here. Take some of these too. So yeah, Uncle Tommy, I'm going to, I've got the schedule down so we can start your medications. Well,
nephew, I want you to know, I'm really not a big medication person, so I only take about a few of those meds. I don't use all of them. But why? Uncle Tommy, don't you know that you've got to take these meds? I mean, heck, Unc, don't you know you got to live long? Well, no, I'm just more of a green person, you know, just kind of want to naturally go on out of this place. And in fact, I've been living a lot easier without those meds. That uncle of mine. Oh, God, I'm going to have to, like, slip something in his drink or something. He's just as an old fart as I had thought. Okay, Uncle Tommy. Well, aren't you ready for some eggs and bacon? Well, nephew, I try to stay away from too much cholesterol. So, I think I'll just have some toast and coffee. Oh, God, how am I gonna do? Okay, well, I'll go ahead and slip a little something in that. Go ahead and put some cream and sugar. No, Neff, I don't even use that. Like my coffee strong and hard. Oh, Jesus, for willikers. I wonder, will he taste it if I put a little bit of this, whatever this crap is in it, put a whole bunch of it in there. All right, Unc. Here's some toast and coffee for you. All right, nephew. Thank you. This what kind of butter did you use? It tastes a little funky. Oh. I just used the regular butter that you have. Yeah, but the toast just didn't come out right, did you? What did you do to it? I mean, it's pretty easy to make toast, don't you think, Neff? Oh, gee willikers. Okay, Uncle, just eat a couple more bites. Nah, I think I'm gonna be okay. Oh, my God, how am I gonna? I have an idea. I'll make him some. Unc, do you like spaghetti? I would say yes, but it causes acid reflux. Oh, my blittering. Well, what do you eat? Pasta? Oh, yes, I love pasta. Are you gonna shimmy down some pasta for lunch? Well, surely I can. That's how I'll do it. I'll make a sauce. Yeah, I learned this in prison. Make a little sauce, slip a little stuff in it, and he won't even tell the difference. Now it's lunchtime. Little nephew's been very naughty. Oh, la 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 la. All right, Uncle, you ready for your pasta? To tell you the truth, nephew, kind of feeling a little woozy. Ever since I ate that toast, this barely even ate it, kind of made my stomach, you know, do the running man. Oh, gosh. Well, the pasta is here. You have to eat, Uncle. You have to eat it. Well, I'm not really feeling that hungry. Can you just leave it in the microwave? I'm going to go lay down for a while. Shaka, 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 shaka. That's uncle of mine is the most. I can't believe it. Am I going to go through this every day? So, Unc. Yes, Neff. Nephew, can I help you? I'm tired. So, about the end of life kind of stuff. I mean, what's going to happen when you're not here anymore? I mean, like, who's going to, like, get everything? I mean, who's going to, like, live here and make sure that all the things you've ever wanted are done when you're dead and gone from here? Oh, my gosh, Neff, why are you talking like that? You sound just like the others.
just waiting for me to go. Waiting to see what I have? Is that what you're doing? Oh my gosh, of course I'm not. I would never do that to you, Uncle. Uncle. All right, I'm just making sure. As a matter of fact, I don't have anyone to leave anything to. I was just going to donate everything to Children's Hospital. What? Children's Hospital? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Oh my gosh, nephew, I've never seen that side of you. Is everything okay? You're making me the hair stand up on the back of my head. I'm just wondering, like, why would you just give everything away to a hospital with a bunch of stinky little brats? Oh, no, that's not the right thing to say. I mean, well, Unc, what I'm saying is I'm here now. I'm going to be here. You know, I'm your nephew. You know, my mother just loved you to death. Don't sit there and say that. You know your mother hated my guts. Well, and you just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, what have you been doing all this time in your life, young man? You've been staying out of trouble, or last time I heard you were up in Canyon City. Well, you know, I got into some trouble, you know, right out of high school. And, well, what were you doing? Your mother said you were selling drugs and getting into gangs and, you know, roughing up people. Is that still true? Anyway, how long have you been out of prison? Gosh, I've been out of a long time. Okay, well, I'm just letting you know, in this house, I have rules. And if you're going to take care of me, you got to do a good job, because I want to live the rest of my life in peace. All right, Uncle. So every day after this point, knowing that his uncle was going to give everything to Children's Hospital, this nephew decides to what? Give the fake smile. Every single day, in the middle of the day, he's in his uncle's face, doing the fake smile, slipping him extra pain pills and trying to get him sick. And that wasn't working because the uncle didn't really trust him all the way. But he still wanted to help his nephew. But uncle was not budging on the Children's Hospital donations. So what do you guys think happened? The conniving little nephew ended up finding the life insurance policies. The life insurance policies were actually forged. The will was changed. And the uncle had no idea all of this was happening because he allowed an ex-con move in with him. Now, and let me tell you guys something. You don't always have to be an ex-prisoner to be conniving. You could have been a conniving family member that was always greedy and will stop at nothing to get everything from your loved one. You'll stop at nothing. You'll abuse them. You'll do whatever it takes, including giving them that fake-ass smile. Okay? So the moral of that story is that the uncle ended up passing away probably 3 years before his time because he allowed somebody that did time to move into his intimate space. He didn't listen to his gut because he was a vulnerable older adult, which happens all the time. Meanwhile, his conniving nephew ended up inheriting everything that his wealthy uncle had. And let me tell you, easy come, easy go. So that little shortcut he took and that sinister action that he took, it ended up costing the nephew his life also down the road. He didn't even live to see 35. Okay. because he thought that by taking shortcuts and by doing evil, that he would get away with it. So I'm letting you guys know that when you have fake people in your life and you know they're fake, stop telling them your business. In fact, you better start, if you don't believe in lying, you better believe in acting, okay? Some of you's like, I'm not gonna lie. Well, you better. Sorry about that, folks. The last episode of Fake Smiles got cut off, and I'm just gonna make a really brief conclusion to this because it's important. But if you're a person that you have been lied to, and you know you want to do it the Christian way and be honest, or you want to be a person of integrity, and I quote that word Christian because a lot of Christians will say that, but you want to come with integrity, you need to learn how to act, okay? This world is full of actors and players. So you have to pick what role you're going to play. Are you going to be the hunted or the hunter, for example? Okay. So if somebody is being deceitful and you know this, you don't need to tell them where you live. You don't need to tell them your social media handles. You don't need to tell them where you're going on vacation. If you smell a rat, you let that rat stay in their own place. You don't go after a rat. You don't try to get acceptance from a rat. You don't give all your cheese to a rat. That means your resources. You don't give all your diamonds and jewels to trash. So you keep all of that inside, and you need to teach your children, your siblings, nieces, nephews, the same principles. Because if you don't, you'll be the one without that contract. You'll be the one sitting on a stake, literally, getting ready to be eaten up by wolves. So it's important for good people that have integrity, or if you're trying to learn how to get integrity, it starts with separating yourself from liars. Okay, people? So that's all I wanted to say. And I'll be back with some more juice. Talk to you soon.